Ephesians 6:13-20. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We are celebrating the 4th of July. There's a song, it's called It's Always Been the Soldier, one of my favorite songs. And it reminds us that freedom is not free. There is a price to be paid for freedom. And before I get into this too much, if you'll just do this, if you were in the military, any branch at all, would you please stand this morning? If you've been in the military, any branch, stand for just a second. All right, I think we need to give them a round of applause and thank them for our freedom. Yeah. By the way, we have many men and women that are fighting for our freedoms today as we speak, and let's remember them as well. The Apostle Paul often refers to Christians and the Christian life as one of a war. We're in a war, and I wanted you to understand that. There probably won't be a lot of humor this morning, maybe a little bit, but we are in a war, and we as born-again believers are the soldiers. Whether you want to understand it or believe it or not, each one of you here, no matter your age, is a soldier in God's army. But we see independent fundamental Baptist churches this morning all across America that are dead or dying, or we see that they are compromising, or that they're even removing the name Baptist from their title. And you have to ask yourself, why? In a country as sin-sick as ours is, with things going on that we would have never thought would have happened, why would these churches be doing this? And they pay big amounts of money to have people come and say, well, I'll do a survey and find out. And they say, well, the reason that they're doing that is because of this. We've got to change. We've got to do this to draw people in. We've got to do this in order to keep on going. But I'll tell you what the real reason is. The real reason is that the soldiers, that's you and I, have gotten tired and are giving up in most independent Baptist churches and have decided to surrender to the enemy. That's what it is. They've decided that they are going to surrender to the enemy. And so you see what's going on in our country. If you have children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, or you are a young adult as well, this is not the same country that we had. And if you want to see America survive, there's got to be some changes done in the independent fundamental Baptist churches. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I know there's other churches that are preaching the gospel, but I believe with all my heart, the independent fundamental are the closest to the New Testament church that you will find. And if we fall, there's no hope left for our country. There's just none. What is it that they have done to make it where it is user-friendly at these churches that used to be independent fundamental Baptist? Well, they have surrendered to Captain Satan, if you will, the leader of their opposition, and they brought in worldly music. Let me just tell you this. If you go into a church and there are no hymnals, and you see a giant screen up there, and you see a little bouncing ball with the words, okay? It's time to leave. I don't care what Baptist is on there. It's time to go, okay? But they have brought that in. Now, I talked to a person who is a representative of a company that sells these things. And he was saying, you know what? We're trying to get them to where not only do they have screens in the front, but they have screens in the back so that the praise and worship team don't have to look down to see the words. They can look at the back and look at the audience. And I just said, whatever happened to hymnals? And that's when he said, we don't sell hymnals. And that was pretty much it. What I want to tell you is this. They have the 7-11 music, which is they sing the same seven words 11 times in a row. Okay? That's what it is. They don't use the hymnals. And nothing happens. They want to do all emotion. All emotion. That's to get all excited and emotional about a certain song that has no meaning. They don't sing, I believe, if I'm wrong on the page numbers, bear with me, but I think it's page 23. There, I think it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. You don't hear nothing but the blood. You don't hear at Calvary. You don't hear people, tears coming down their eyes because maybe that was the song that was being sung when they got saved. Because why? They have brought in the worldly music. They have brought in the praise band. And if you'll look in Acts, and if you can find out where the praise band was in the New Testament church, please come and tell me and I'll change what I'm preaching, all right? But you're not going to find that. There's no drums, there's no guitar, there's no... I don't even know what else they have in the praise band. I never had one, never went to a church that did. But that's what they brought in because why? We've got to bring the young people in. You don't. The young people are looking, I'm going to tell you this because I've talked to enough of them to know you have the right ones here, but even the worldly ones are looking for something different. They want to know, will what you preach and what you teach, is it what God wants? And they know if they go to a rock concert on Saturday and they come to church on Sunday and it's the same music, there's something wrong. But that's what they've brought in, worldly music. They brought in worldly dress, and I'm not going to get into that. All I'm just trying to say is this. Used to, there was a reverence when you come to God's house to dress right for this reason. Do we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Yes. If we come in His presence, are we supposed to be dressed the right way? Even these hippies that are Hollywood stars... And I know that's a long... No, people are going, hippies? Yeah. Ask your mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. They'll tell you that. If they go and meet the queen, they don't dress like they do normally. Because they're told, listen, you better be dressed right. You better make sure you do this right and that right because you're going to meet the queen and there's certain protocol. We get to meet the King of Kings every week and so we need to be dressed the right way. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go in anymore. The pastor preaches on it enough. I'm just telling you that's what's happening in these churches because they say, well, we've got to get the people in. Okay. They have no Bible. You say they don't use the Bible? They don't use the Bible. That's what I'm saying. The NIV is not the Bible. NIV stands for, in my opinion, non-inspired version. Okay? That's what I call it. It's the non-inspired version. The NASB, all these different versions that they have, the King James is what God has given us. That's what we use. I believe that is God's word, and that's what you need to use. Would you be surprised to know that there will be preachers, even in an independent church, fundamental supposedly, that will preach this morning and will not even have a Bible with them on the pulpit? I'm just telling you, it's that way. And the reason they get away with it is because none of the people that come in have their Bible. This is just going to inspire my heart. I'm just doing it for me for no other reason. But if you have your Bible this morning, just hold it up just so I can see your Bible. Amen. Amen. Just look around. That's great. That's great. Thank you. You may put it down. I was told when I preached in my church, I was told to people two things. Number one, I will always have the Bible and will use the Bible to preach out of. Number two, you better have yours to make sure that what I'm preaching are the verses that are in that Bible, okay? If it's not, then one of us is wrong, and it's probably going to be me, but make sure you do. They don't even use the Bible. They don't have the right kind of standards, and I'm not even going to get into the standards that you're thinking of when it comes to a pastor and to deacons. You know, the Bible tells us that there are qualifications that a pastor is supposed to have. You should know that. It's in there. And you should know, does our pastor have it? Our pastor does have it. There's no doubt. But there are men, and I won't even get into the churches that have women preachers. Anyway, it's not in the Bible. I'll just leave it there. The reason I think that some of the women like to be preachers is because they like to nag at home, and they figure if they can do a good job there, they might as well nag at everybody else that's in the pulpit, okay? So they just get up there. It's just a natural thing, okay? I work with a guy that goes to a church, and he said, yeah, my pastor's a woman. And I said, how do you feel about that? And he goes, well, she just nags a lot. I said, there you go. Okay. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying the woman's not supposed to be a preacher. I told you I was going to be the bad cop. You're going to look forward to August. I'll tell you that. You'll say, oh, good. I can't wait. I can get somebody that really appreciates this. Okay. But a pastor should have a husband and one wife. And here's how they get around it today. I've had pastors tell me, well, what it means is you're only supposed to have one wife at a time. Okay? So that means, amen, I'm not the only one. I've been divorced once or twice, but I can still be a pastor because the one I'm married to now is just the one at this time. No. I think if you study your Bible, when it says a husband and one wife, unless the wife has passed away, and I think we understand that, it's husband and one wife. You should have a pastor doing that. You should have a pastor that... Wouldn't it be wonderful if most churches decided they're going to call a pastor? That they said, one of the things we want to know is, what kind of a walk do you have with God? Can you get a hold of God? Does God know you get, has he blessed you? But that's not usually what they ask. They usually ask, we have 8 people in our church, or 20 or 30, and we want to know, will you put in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and make the church grow? Now, we're not going to help, but we just want to know, can you do that? Okay? And then the pastor says, well, sure, I guess, I don't know. What? How do you answer that? But that's what it is. Because why? I'm getting back to the point. You're saying, where does it have to do with soldiers? I'm telling you this. If you are a soldier, if you are going to be serving God, there are some qualities and qualifications you must have. And these have come in to the church, basically, because they have surrendered and said, we're not going to do it God's way. We're not going to do it God's way. Our pastor said a few weeks ago that in the near future, we're going to have some deacons. I don't know when. I don't know what his plan is. Doesn't matter. I'm not the pastor, so it doesn't concern me. All I know is this. If you want to be a deacon, if you're hoping that you're going to be picked, you better be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what it's going to take. I don't know who he has in mind. I don't think he's getting rid of anybody, but I think he was just trying to prepare that time has a way of going on, and after a certain time, you can't do what you used to. You say, how do you know? I had a race with my granddaughter the other day. And I made her feel like she won, but I was giving it all I had, and I could not catch her. All right? Now, my mind said, you should be able to do this. My body said, you're giving it all you can. Don't ask us to do any more. That's what happens. You go on, and as you get older, you can't do as much. And so there may be a time when deacons will have to be brought in. Thank God there are men here that can be chosen that would be qualified deacons. But there are deacons at these churches all across America that it's because of either who they are or how much money they're putting in, they get to be a deacon. And that's their qualification. Well, let's see. He puts in $250 a week. He'd be a good deacon. Oh, yeah. He doesn't have any of these other qualifications, but he's a good tither. I knew it's a church in Terre Haute. There was the head deacon there was a very fluent man. I believe he's still there. And He was the head deacon. He had a wife. He also had a mistress. The whole church knew it. And so the pastor said, he told the pastor, if you want me to stay and continue to give, don't ever preach on adultery. And the pastor said, that's not a problem. I'll be more than happy to stay away from that. Okay? And he did. Because why? He liked the money that was coming in. The reason I'm saying these things is this. Our country is in dire straits. We have the sodomites that are going crazy. And the reason I use sodomites and I tell you to do this, they don't mind if you call them gay. They don't mind if you call them homosexual. They don't mind if you call them lesbian. But boy, if you call them sodomites, they go berserk. So because of that, every time I get a chance, I just call them a sodomite. And then they get crazy and it goes that way. You say, do you love them? I love them as far as because they're a lost soul, okay? But I have found this, and if you found it different, that's good. Any of the ones that I've ever tried to reach for the Lord were unreachable. They did not want to be saved, okay? They didn't want to hear anything about it. If you know of some experiences where they have, then praise God. I'm just telling you what I found. So if I know that they don't like it, I just call them sodomites, okay? They are trying to take over our country. We are trying to get rid of all the values. The public schools are in a mess. Thank God for the school we have here. But all of this to say, the reason it has happened is because the soldiers that make up the Lord's army have surrendered and said, I'm just going to sit on my blessed assurance and be fed, and I'm not going to do anything else. And so because of that, churches are dying and are closing left and right. John R. Rice, hopefully, I'd say a lot of you maybe at least have heard of him, used to always say everybody wants to be in the Lord's army, but they all want to be in the Quartermaster Corps. Now, I never knew exactly what the Quartermaster Corps was. I looked it up. So I just changed it to everybody wants to be in the Lord's army, but they all want to work in the PX. Okay? That's where it's at. Nobody wants to take what it really is going to entail to be part of the Lord's army. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the morning on. The qualifications of being a soldier in God's army. Okay? The first qualification is this. Fear is not an option. Fear is not an option. You can't be afraid and be a good soldier for the Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and what? Sound mind. Okay? So if God has not given us the spirit of fear, where does the spirit of fear come from? It comes from Satan, right? Who is the one that is trying to destroy God's army? Satan. Well, I can't go up and ask that person if they want to get saved. They might laugh at me or they're going to think I'm crazy. They probably think you're crazy anyway. So it's not going to matter. That's what I learned. Listen, ask yourself this question. Is hell still a real place? Okay. Are there people there that are crying out in pain and agony and are in torments right now? So if that is the case, are there people that are still going to be going to hell if they don't get saved? Yes. Okay. So whose job is it to tell people about the Lord? And here's what most churches will say. That's why we hire a full-time pastor. So he can go and tell everybody about the Lord. Can the pastor be more than one place at a time? And I'm going to tell you this. I don't care how good he is. He can't. So sometimes it's going to be up to you to go and tell somebody about what Jesus has done. To tell somebody that there is a place called hell, and that people are dying and going there. I'm not looking forward to the time that I have to look at some of the ones that I never told about the Lord that I had an opportunity to tell, that will look at me and say one word or two. Why? Why didn't you tell me? And do you think that being saved, well, I was afraid of what you might think or say is going to cut it very much with them then. I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, will everybody get saved? No, the answer is no. But do we know who's going to be saved? No, we don't. So it is up to us to tell our loved ones. If we can't tell our loved ones about the Lord, we're probably not going to tell anybody else. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I can tell you this. I have some loved ones that are not saved. I know there's some in this room that do as well. And you've talked to them, you're praying for them, and they may or may not get saved. I pray they will. But I know this, they'll never get saved if you don't pray and you don't tell them about the Lord. They're not going to have that opportunity. I think about them, especially in the hot times, like we're going to experience, and when it's 100, 102 degrees, 105 degrees heat. And I think about what it must be like in hell every single second of every single day. And that's what they're going through, because why? Maybe no one really talked to them that cared about them. You know, it says that we're supposed to go bearing precious seed, and we're supposed to have tears. And I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but we're supposed to go with an attitude to where we are actually in tears if they don't get saved. Church I was at last, we had, I guess they got them up here too, tissues at the altar for people that come and that their heart would be broken to be praying because something had really moved them or somebody was on their heart. And at first, we went through two boxes, it seemed like, every month. It got to the point where we hardly ever had to change them. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't cry when you come to the altar, you can't get a hold of God. I'm just saying, when's the last time that you did? I'm saying our country is in sad shape because we have soldiers that are afraid. Do you think there was some fear in those guys that went after bin Laden? Probably. But you never knew it. They did what they were supposed to do. They took them out. Fear is not an option. To be a good soldier, we have to be dedicated to the cause. Dedicated to the cause. That means you're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever you can be. I know there's exceptions. But you also have to read your Bible daily, pray daily, tell others about the Lord. And you are dedicated where that's all you want to think about, all you want to talk about. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29. We know the story where Goliath is out there and he's getting a hold of David and he's screaming at everybody that's on the army of Israel. And David says, is there not a cause? And let me ask you this morning, is there not a cause for your children and grandchildren and for our country? And the answer is, yes, there is a cause. Amen. We need a lot of Davids that just says, you know, I don't care. I'm going to go because I serve a great and mighty and powerful God that can do great things. Great things. I love Ephesians 3:20, where it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. I did some word study, as the pastor has told us to do. And exceeding abundantly means super, super abundantly. It's like a double one. They're super, super abundantly. We have a God that does super, super abundantly things. Are you dedicated to the cause this morning? Third, this is a word that I've got that I didn't have growing up, but it seems to be a very popular word now. We must be multitaskers. That just means you got to do more than one thing at a time. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we had Peter and James and John, and they had come in and they were in there cleaning the nets after they had been fishing. So they knew not only did they have to fish, but they also had to clean their nets and keep them repaired and probably take care of the boats. They were doing more than one thing, and the Lord said, hey, put down the nets, let's go on out. And he said, okay, let's go. We'll do it. I know in most churches, I know it's not that way here because it's probably about 100% of everybody does something. But in churches where they don't, it seems like 10% do 90% of the work. Okay? 10% do 90%. Now, you can be a good multitasker, but I'll guarantee you, you can't be that good. We need people, men and women, that would say, look, I can help do this. I can help clean up after a meal. Probably not a lot of volunteers on that. I can help clean toilets. I can help do jobs that nobody else wants to do on a regular basis. That's what we need. We need people all working together instead of just sitting back and saying, well, Sister so-and-so has done that. I don't want to hurt her feelings. I'll guarantee you Sister so-and-so would be glad to have some help sometimes. And Brother so-and-so would be glad to have some help. And the pastor would love to have some help. He probably would have a heart attack, even though he's a young man, if the altar was filled this morning and people came up and said, we just come because we want to say, Pastor, we want to help. Wherever you put us, you can count on us. After they call 911 and they come in and revived him, he'd say, wow, that would be great. You say, how come? Because people don't do that. I don't know this, and maybe it's not this way in Jacksonville. Maybe it's just this way over in Sullivan County. If you live in Sullivan County, I used to live there, so don't take offense. But their thing was, if you ask me, I'll do it. But unless you come and personally take my hand and look me in my eye and say, oh, Sister so-and-so, would you please bake a cake? Please. I'm not going to do it. And we laugh and think, well, that's kind of stupid. Try pastoring that. Okay? Because you don't have time to go to everybody and ask them personally to do it. Wouldn't it be great if you just said, look, whatever you need, I'll do. Here's my name and number. Give it to whoever wants to and have them call me and or I'll come in and meet with you and I'll do it. See, that's what a good soldier can do. Because of time, I'll hurry up with this. The last thing is loyalty. A good soldier has to be loyal to their leader. Our ultimate leader is God, and we have to be loyal to him. But he is put as our under-shepherd, Pastor Ross, and we must be loyal to him. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 through 17. I won't read it, but it talks about David's mighty men. And you know the story where the Philistines were all around him, and he said, boy, I sure would like a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem. And three of the men broke through the lines, risked their life to get a glass of water out of the well to bring back to David. And he was so moved, he poured it out to the Lord as a thing to the Lord, because he said they risked their lives. It was blood. They'd give their own blood just to get me a drink of water. Did you ever ask yourself, I wonder what our church could do if a group of us men decided we were going to be the pastor's mighty men. And whatever the pastor needed, we were going to be there and do it. And if he asked something, and I know he likes to joke, and I love that about him. But if he asked us for a mug from San Antonio, we'd go down and get a mug for him. Just because that's what he wanted. Nah, he probably wouldn't ask that, but just something like that. To be loyal. Or to say, Pastor, can we go soul winning? Or can we go and visit this person? Or can we, what do you need? Just anything. Just tell me what I can do. Because you count on me. That's what you need. A church that can do that. There's nothing holding it back because the enemy has been defeated. Satan says, there's no hope. I can't come in. They won't bring the wrong music. They dress the right way. They use the right Bible. They're going out soul winning. They're telling others about Christ. They're praying. They're having the right preaching. They're multitasking. And they're loyal to God and to God's man. That's what, on this 4th of July, we need those kind of soldiers, men and women. You need some that will, maybe you've been recently saved or you're young in the Lord. You just need to come and sign up and say, where do I sign? Come to the altar, not now, but this morning or sometime, just say, where do I sign up? We have others that have decided, you know, I put in, and I bless your heart, I understand this. I put in 20, 30, 40 years of serving God when no one else was around. It was just me. And I've decided to sit back and retire. And all I can say is, Don't retire, but re-up. Re-up. We have too many Christians that are AWOL. Or as my boss used to say, see that guy over there? That's a road worker. And I'd say, road, what do you mean? He goes, he's retired while on active duty. That's what we have. Too many. We need people that are going to re-up, re-enlist. I remember Brother Hiles telling this story. He was preaching one time, and at the end of the message, invitation, an older gentleman came forward, and he said, I'd like to say something. And he said, okay. He said, I'm 80-some years old. I think it was 80 or 81. He said, I just retired from preaching. I said, I wasn't going to preach anymore, and I wasn't going to go out anymore to preach and hold any kind of revivals or anything. I'm just retired. But he said, after hearing your message, after hearing what God has done and realizing how much God has done for me, I can't retire. He said, I'm coming forward tonight to re-enlist. And he said, I'm going to re-enlist at 81 and let God use me until I can't be used anymore. That's what we need. We need people that aren't going to quit. They're going to re-enlist. They're going to keep on going until they just can't go anymore. This is a great church. But don't think that it will remain great if people retire, if people decide to sit back and do nothing, if the soldiers surrender to the enemy. 100 years from now, wouldn't it be great to look from heaven and see that everything that was going on was still going on plus more because people today decided we're going to be the right kind of soldiers. We're going to do what God wants. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for everyone that is here. God, some of your choicest people attend this church. Lord, they've been so good to me and my wife. Lord, I think so much of each one here. But Lord, we know that the ultimate is you and what you have done, and you've blessed this church, and Lord, you want to continue to bless. Lord, may it always be the way that we would, as soldiers, keep on going, serve you, be loyal, Lord, do whatever you wanted, and Lord, that we would stand against Satan so that if our country is to have a chance, it'll be because of this church and others like it and the soldiers in it that have refused to surrender. Bless everyone that is here this morning. Thank you, God, for our salvation. Thank you for loving us. Oh, God, that we would never forget that. Bless the service to follow and our pastor. In Jesus' name, amen.